All right. Do we have any more prayer requests? Can I have a couple of people help with the communion? Not you. No. Oh, thank you, Father. Jesus told us to take and eat this as often as we will. Take this in remembrance of Him as often as you will. You know, you can take it daily. You can take it 3 times a day if you want. You can take it monthly, weekly, however you want to do it. But release your faith in doing it. Do it on purpose. You know, that was one of my, I had a curious mission. I was just curious about communion. And I would ask people why they take communion. And I had a range of answers as far as the East is from the West, it seems like. But I didn't, however, run into anybody that says, you know, this is His body, and it was beaten for us. It was bruised for us. He took stripes on His back for our healing. He went through the full passion for us. His body was pierced for us. And also, He took the full wrath of God's fiery judgment upon Himself, the judgment that was meant for us, so that we could be taken like He is. And His body was broken. And it's for our healing, it's for our well-being. That's the answer we're looking for. We're taking this for our healing and our well-being, and we thank God for it. The blood of Jesus did something that no man could ever find out a way to do. It took away the sins of mankind. It washed away our sins. It took grimy old us, dirty old sheep, and turned us into white as wool sheep. Pure as the driven snow. Somebody just said, you don't know what I did yesterday. Just the fact that you came up with that idea, I mean, you don't completely understand what Jesus did on that cross. He completely obliterated sin. He took your sin and washed it away. Gone. Clean. And when God looks at you, He's looking at Jesus. That's why the Bible says, as He is now, so are we in this world. He did a perfect work on that cross for us. There's nothing you can possibly do to make it any better. We thank you for this. I really gotta focus when I go to put something somewhere. Oh, praise God, I'm getting better. Maybe I'll start driving at night one of these days. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for everything that Jesus does for us, and He's given us His Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us. Show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. You've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so we can receive from your word as we learn of Jesus. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Jesus said to take heed what you hear. That means literally pay attention to what you're listening to. Now, there's some groups of people that won't believe nothing they hear if it doesn't come from their pastor or their line of thinking. And when they read the Bible, they only read what they believe. And then we have other groups of people. This is the word of faithers and charismatics. They'll believe almost anything. It's crazy. They'll believe almost anything they hear. If one of their highly regarded preachers is preaching and he says something, they're going to take it. With them, though, they'll buy it hook, line, and sinker, even though it's not right. They're not paying attention to what they're hearing. They're paying attention to who's talking. Amen. You know, Jesus warned us about this. He told the Pharisees one time, he said, you know, the traditions of your forefathers have made the word of God to none effect. You got to line up everything that you're hearing with the Bible. Amen? One time, I was in a church service, and I told this lady, I said, you know, it's the good that keeps Christians from receiving the best. She said, I don't know about that. I said, well, Kenneth Copeland said it. She said, she was on the front of the stage saying it. How about the Spirit of God saying it? Amen. You got to pay attention to what you're hearing. It doesn't matter who's saying it, you got to pay attention to what you're hearing. Amen. Now, this look over here in the book of Matthew. Chapter 16. We're going to get, actually, I'm going to start where we're going to end up at, so we can have a foundation, we have a goal to get where we're going. Let's go over here to Matthew chapter 18, verse 14. When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, and oftentimes he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer with you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, said, Why could not we cast him out? Jesus said unto him, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. That's where we want to end up at. But there's a foundation there. That was a story of a powerless disciples that shouldn't have been powerless. But they ran into this challenge and they couldn't handle it. They had listened to the wrong people at some point in time. they had listened to the right person, but then they picked up some wrong teaching too. That's what caused their unbelief. You want to know where unbelief comes from? It's caused by doubt, and doubt is caused from wrong teaching. Now we can go back over here to Matthew chapter 16. Verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Isn't that interesting? He's saying, pay attention. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Literally, false doctrines of these groups. He was telling these guys that spent 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with him, to pay attention and don't fall for these false doctrines. You know, we still have these false doctrines floating around. It's rampant. It's all over the place. They reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we had no bread, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because you have brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spoke it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then they understood how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Pay attention to what you're hearing. But it's a church. They got a cross on it. I don't care. I really don't. It's a building, it might have a cross on it, but they're not preaching the gospel. If they're not preaching the gospel of grace and the truth from the Word of God, then it's just a building. It's just a place. One of our assignments when I was in Bible school was we were supposed to go out in the community somewhere, find a different church. It didn't matter what denomination, it didn't matter nothing. Just find a different church every Sunday to go to. Go there. And don't say anything, don't try to change nothing, don't do anything, just go there and sit there and listen. And watch how they do things. So one Sunday we picked this big church, and it looked like a cowboy church. It said cowboy church on it. So we went there, and we were sitting there listening. And we went through a full service, and I thought, man alive, this guy needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He needs to get born again. We got, and I was fumbling through their book. They had a little bookstore back, and I was fumbling through the bookstore, and I seen some pretty interesting stuff that I wanted to stay as far away from as I could. We got out in the parking lot, and everybody was saying, you know, that was a pretty good church. I think that's a pretty good place. And I said, hang on just 1 minute. I went in there, and I bought one of them stupid books for $5, brought it out there to them guys, handed it to them, said, now look at that. They're selling this book. It says, Why Faith is Not for Christians Today. I said, the guy needs to get born again. they kind of looked at me funny, and I said, you can't just take everything hook, line, and sinker, what you hear. You got to measure it up with the Bible. You got to pay attention to what you're hearing. I don't care how fancy these people are. If they're not preaching the truth, they're not preaching the truth. I don't care how fancy the building might look. Go on down here to verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That's a curious question. And every single person on the face of this planet has to answer that question. Who is Jesus? To us, he is Lord and King. He is our Savior. He is the Lord Jesus. He is our Savior. He is the one we call on to salvation. There is salvation in no other name. But look, some of these pretty places and some of these fancy people that you run into, some of them will tell you that Jesus was the offspring of Mary's self-conscious. Yeah. Some of them will tell you that Jesus is the I in man. The self, the divine idea. Reveal yourself to yourself by affirming, I am the Christ. These are doctrines of men that are floating around the community in the state. They're all over. Here's one. In his humanity, Christ partook of our sinful nature. No, Christ never sinned once. Not once. He took the sins of the world upon himself, but he never sinned once. He was a man so good, his deluded followers took him to be a god. These are some of the doctrines that get floated around. That Christ is less an external Savior than a living presence in the human spirit. In time, all men become Christ. See, these are false doctrines. But they're doctrines that get preached in buildings like this every single Sunday and Saturday, whenever people meet. You know, they're major denominations. I've seen some major denominational preachers say they question whether Christ was even the Son of God or not. Some of them swear it wasn't a virgin birth. These are some huge churches. There are pastors running around saying, well, Christians and Muslims are all just one. We got the same God. What has happened is they're not paying attention to what they're listening to. They're paying attention to who's talking. This guy may drive around in a fancy Cadillac, but if he's not preaching the gospel, he's a shyster. Amen? Look at Jesus. He stayed with Peter here. They said, some say that you are John the Baptist. Others, Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He said unto them, but who do you say that I am? See, he pinned it down. And every single person on this planet is pinned down to this one question. Who do you say that Jesus is? He's not asking, what does grandma say about Jesus? He's not asking what your pastor says about Jesus. He's not asking anything else. He's saying, who do you say that I am? And Peter got it right. He nailed it. Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He hit a home run right there. Now you'd think Peter would just kind of float on and he'd be rocking and rolling and not be missing anything. You know, he just hit a home run right there. He's the leader of the squad, but he struck out after that several times. You know, this is where people beat themselves up. But you have to understand that every single one of us is in the same shoes. Every single one of us has to walk through life going from one revelation of God to the next revelation of God. Going from grace to grace. We learn a little bit about God. And we think, man, I'm on it. And then all of a sudden we're over here kicking the tree because we just made a mistake. And then we say, why in the world can I get this right? You're getting it right. You're hitting a home run. Why? Because you're seeking God with all your heart. The very fact that you got mad because you made a mistake means that you are seeking God with all your heart. If you didn't get mad when you made a mistake, if it didn't grind your organ just a little bit, we might have to have a conversation. Because I've never had a lot of people like that, where they seem to lose their conscience. They're very dangerous people. Where they don't care one way or another what they do, when they do it, where they do it, who they hurt, what consequences might be, they don't care. I've been around a lot of those people. They're dangerous folks. But the very fact that that sin bugs you, the Spirit of God is on the inside of you, He's not rebuking you, He's encouraging you. He's telling you you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know something? When you get born again, you change. All of a sudden, it's kind of crazy. All of a sudden, that your old surroundings, your old habitat, the places that you used to find comfort in and the people you used to find comfort in, all of a sudden, they know something is different about you and they just distance themselves from you a little bit. You don't find the same kind of comfort in them places anymore. And then you start finding comfort in places and around people that you used to distance yourself from. Why? Because the Spirit inside of you has changed, and you're changing from the inside out, and you're going from grace to grace. And now the stuff that you used to like bugs you. The stuff that you didn't used to like, you take enjoyment in. So that means you're growing. Going down here to verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." You know, that's the best way to get anything is from God. When you get a revelation from God, you know, you find... I tell people this a lot. See, you find a scripture in the Bible you don't understand, but it catches your curiosity, camp on that scripture for a while. Read it, meditate on it, study it, look at it, read it again, and you say, man, I can't understand that. Well, that's okay. Keep reading it. Keep meditating on that scripture. Keep reading it. And then someday, you'll be eating some enchiladas, and all of a sudden, you'll get it. You'll just look up and you say, I understand that scripture now. I got it. It's, you know, what happened is you got a revelation from God. Yeah? And it's in there. And now you own that scripture. The devil can't take that away from you. It's yours. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, he wasn't building the church on Peter. He was building the church on that rock of Revelation. See, he just went through this and showed Peter how you got a revelation from God of who I am. I'm going to build my church upon that revelation. The more revelation you get, actually what you're doing is you're learning from Jesus. You're learning of Jesus. The more you learn of him, the more revelation you're going to get in your heart. And it right there, Jesus said it himself, said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So when you get something in your heart, and you know it's yours, and it's in there, you own it, the gates of hell can't, the devil himself cannot take that away from you. What if I came up and told you you were not born again? He ain't going to buy into that. Nobody can talk you into the fact that you're not born again. You're born again and you know it. You know it in your heart. Nobody's going to be able to steal that from you. The devil himself cannot steal that from you. And look at the very next thing Jesus said right here. I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now that gets us back over here to Matthew chapter 18, verse 4, or Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. I'm sorry. Chapter 17, verse 14. When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cast him out. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither. And Jesus rebuked the devil. He departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. I'll start up here at the beginning of that. In verse 14, the man came and knelt down to him. Now, do you suppose he went up there and knelt down to him, said, you're Lord and King? No. In that culture, in that time of day, when you knelt down to somebody and touched their knees, you were pulling on their kindness. This man didn't know anything about the lordship of Jesus. He didn't know anything about nothing, but he believed in the goodness and the kindness and the mercy of God. He went up and touched Jesus on the knee, and he was pulling on his kindness. Should be our attitude towards God. Believe in the kindness and love of God for you. Remember, the Bible tells us to believe the love that God has for us. You know, in the Gospels, the Pharisees asked Jesus, said, what's the great commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your body. The next one is like unto it, and it's love your neighbor as yourself. And he went on to say, upon this hang all the law and the prophets. So that he was telling the Pharisees about the law. After the cross, remember the cross made all the difference? The cross means everything. After the cross, the Bible tells us to believe the love that God has for us. This guy had a grasp on it. he was believing the kindness that God would have on him. He went up there, bowed his knee. He didn't have any pretenses. He went to Jesus and received kindness for his son. Amen? That should be our attitude towards God. That's what God wants us. We don't have to be super faith beings. When you believe the love that God has for you, faith will rise in your heart. He said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He didn't say anything else. He just called on the mercy of God. Told him what happened. Told him that he brought him to his disciples and they cannot cure him. Well, these disciples had evidently forgotten what Jesus said. He said, beware of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Unbelief had risen in their hearts, or they would have handled that devil. They would have handled it right there. But the false doctrines, the false teachings had gotten in their heart. They didn't take heed. They didn't pay attention to what they were listening to. They'd listen to the wrong stuff. You know, it's pretty easy today to get in this age of information and as much information as we have access to. It's easy to just listen to a lot of stuff. But without filtering it, you can pick up on some wrong stuff. So I don't listen to a whole bunch of different preachers. I like to pick one or two. One or two that I know are going to tell the truth and listen to them. So I won't be picking up on something that I shouldn't be listening to. Amen? That stuff sticks with you more than what you think. You know something about this moon, this boy, they call it moonstruck, is epilepsy. It was supposed to have been caused by the moon because the attacks were worse at the change and full of the moon. But it was really caused by a demon which attacked during that time so as to make others think the moon was the cause. See, the devil is a master of deception. And there's a lot of people running around. They always get sniffles at a certain time of year. They start sneezing at this time of year, whatever. But notice, Jesus, he didn't talk to allergies, he didn't talk to epilepsy, he didn't talk to nothing else. He talked to that demon, he rebuked that demon and told it to get. What brings me to another question is, why did it only take him a few words to cast that one little demon out? Because he rebuked him in the name of God. He rebuked him. He had absolute authority. And he knew just exactly what was behind that rebuke, which is what you need to understand. When you rebuke something in the name of Jesus, it has that same authority that Jesus had. Because Jesus said in John 14, verse 12, said, whatsoever he did, you could do also. When you use his name. Keeping it simple. Keeping it simple. You do the asking, he does the doing. God is on the inside of you. You need to let that be a reality. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. The living God that created the universe, that raised Jesus back to life by the power of the Holy Spirit, resides on the inside of you. And he gave you his name. And he said, go use that name. And in my name you shall lay hands on the sick. In my name you shall cast out devils. In my name you shall speak in other tongues. In my name, if you drink any deadly thing accidentally, it shall not harm you. In my name, you shall take up serpents, and they shall not hurt you. That's not, you're not picking them up, playing them. If you're doing that, come talk to me. But literally, Paul got in the shipwreck, and he ended up on an island, and they were building a fire in the islanders thought, man, this guy must be a demon. He got in a terrible wreck. So they were building this fire, and a snake bit him on the arm. Well, the Bible says he took up a serpent. That serpent bit him on the arm. And he shook it off, and he kept building the fire, and then these guys decided he was a god. That's See how fast people are fickle. You know, they can change their mind in a blink of an eye. You know, some people, oh, I shouldn't tell this, but one day I told this lady, I said, you are like a fart in a whirlwind. You can't make up your mind for nothing. She looked at me kind of funny. I said, you just got to settle down. You got to slow down and stop and think about what you're doing. And 1 minute you're over here, the next minute you're over here. So she finally got settled down in it. And it was good. But literally, when people are not solid on the word, their minds are all over the place. Amen? 1 minute they think God is blessing them. 1 minute they think God's cursing them. 1 minute they have authority, and the next minute they don't. You know, there are still people, born-again Christians, that have the authority to use the name of Jesus that don't think they can cast out devils. They'll drag a poor guy over to some preacher over here that has a deliverance ministry to have him praise this devil out of them. And this guy will scream at him for 3 hours, and finally they'll say, okay, you're free, and the guy's just as much a nutcase as he was before he got there, maybe even worse. Literally, Jesus said, go in the name of Jesus. That is all you have to do. Rebuke them, bind them, and tell them to get in the name of Jesus. You've got that authority. Amen? The only thing that stops people is unbelief. Doubt and unbelief are not the same thing. Unbelief, see, these guys, Jesus rebuked them for their unbelief. Because he had told them, point blank, I'm giving you the keys of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So you got this thing, you use my name, you go do it. And then they didn't do it because they didn't believe it. They knew the truth. Now, doubt is just, you know, somebody that has never, I never heard nothing like this before. How can this be? How can this be? You know, they doubt that because they never heard it. And that doubt can be fixed with teaching. Amen? One day I was working with this old guy. And I said, where do you go to church? He said, I go to the Catholic church. And I visited with him a little bit. And I said, but you're born again. And he looked at me and I said, you believe that God raised Jesus back to life? And you confessed him to be your Lord and Savior? And he said, yes, of course. He's my Lord and Savior. I said, well, you need to baptize him with the Holy Spirit. And he looked at me kind of funny, and he said, what do you mean? Well, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, rests upon you, and he endues you with power. And he said, how can this be? I said, well, when you receive the promise of the Father, what was going on? He was struggling with doubt because he had never heard that. It was something new to him. So he went ahead and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But had he been taught that and taught that and taught that and then said, no, it's not for me today. It's not for us today. That's unbelief. And Jesus rebuked him for that. But he won't rebuke somebody if they're in doubt. He encourages them and teaches them. He'll pull them forward by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? If you don't understand something, don't get frustrated. And don't say, well, I don't understand this. It's not for us today. That's not what Mama believed. That's not what Pastor believes. Just find something in the Bible. Don't understand it. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. He's good. He'll teach you. But look at this, what Jesus said here. After the fact there, the kid was cured. In verse 19 says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? That's the most honest question. At least they got that right. They said, at least they wanted to know what went wrong. We all end up there. What happens too many times is something doesn't work, people say, well, that's not for today. You know, it's not for me. Instead of just saying, where did I go wrong? What do I got to do to fix this? Which is what they did. They said, why couldn't we get the job done? Why couldn't we cast him out? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. See, he told them the truth a couple chapters ago. He told them the way it was. They didn't believe it. Verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence the yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Do you ever sit there and wonder what you really can do in Christ? With nothing shall be impossible unto you. See, that's something you can ponder on. What could God do through me if I just let him do it? You know, he takes us from grace to grace. And he doesn't ever tear you down. He builds you up. Right there, he told them where they went wrong, said they got to believing wrong. But then he encouraged them immediately. He showed them where the mistake was and encouraged them immediately. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence unto yonder place. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Yeah? He spent more time telling them what they could do, qualifying them for the good things, than he did talking about their mistake. Did you notice in that whole thing there, he didn't talk to the Father, said, man, you must have been a sinning son of a gun. He didn't say anything about the boy's mom. He didn't say anything about the boy. He just addressed the problem. The devil. He got to the solution. Jesus spent very little time talking about the mistake. Spent more time talking about the answer. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and his resurrection. We thank you for everything that he is doing for us right now as our high priest at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, his saints. We thank you for everything that he will do for us. When he completes our salvation, our redemption, we see him as he is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we have some wonderful donuts and coffee back here, and everybody's welcome to come back and fellowship and visit a little bit. Amen.